Welcome to Eco Living in Action, a half-hour sustainable living show with Maureen Howard. From making your own cleaning products to composting, recycling, keeping chooks and reducing your carbon footprint, Maureen and her guests will inspire you with practical, everyday solutions that make a difference. Eco Living in Action, proudly supported by Sustainable Dunedin City.
Kia ora, welcome to Eco Living in Action. I'm Maureen Howard, and a sustainability educator and communicator based in Dunedin and host of this show. Now, I can't think of a more impressive creature on our beaches than the New Zealand sea lion. The males, in Kiwi language, get up to 450 kilograms, so that's muscle and blubber. And if you live here, you'll know that Dunedin is a great place to come and see them. And that's because Dunedin has New Zealand sea lions breeding. It's one of the few places on the mainland, and this makes Dunedin a pretty special city. So this show is about sharing, actually. It's about sharing our space with these magnificent creatures as well as with other wildlife. How are New Zealand sea lions faring as a population, and how are they doing here in Dunedin in particular, and what can we do to give them the best chance of thriving whilst also being able to enjoy living here with them? On today's show, I have Jim Fife live in the studio with me. Jim is a biodiversity ranger for the Department of Conservation, and he's based here in Dunedin. For 20 years, Jim's been heavily involved with the day-to-day protection of marine species around our coastline. So welcome to the show, Jim.
Thank you.
I hope I got that all right.
Yes, very good.
Yeah. So, Jim, obviously you're very passionate about sea lions and all of marine life. You know, how did this begin, or have you anything in particular?
Where did it begin?
Yes. Yeah, where did it begin?
I was reflecting on this, and I grew up in Northland and did a lot of diving up in Northland, then came to Otago University for study. But I remember up in Northland when my mates heard that I was going down to Otago, my diving mates, they said, oh, look, you know, down there you'll meet this sort of really aggressive sort of animal. It'll be really scary.
Right.
So I'd sort of heard of sea lions by reputation before I came here. My first experience with sea lions here was out snorkeling on the peninsula, and I got into the water and was swimming, and then I realised everybody else in the group was still on the beach, and I swam in, and I said, what's the story? What's going on? And they said, we're not going out there. When we're in the surf, this big male sea lion came and chased us, and, you know, no way we're going out. So I said, oh, yeah, okay. Well, he didn't come and bother me, so I went out again and spent a good half hour out there, and I never met that particular sea lion. But, you know, which is a good lesson, you know. It's 5 or 10 minutes of keeping your cool around sea lions, and they'll move on, they'll get bored and move away again. But, little did I know then that sea lions would become such a big part of my life. When I started work with Doc, and we had the female mum who just started having pups.
So that was an amazing thing, wasn't it? What a wonderful chance, because there's been no seals here for such a long time.
That's right, yeah. So,
or sea lions, I
should
lions, say.
Sea lions were wiped out by Māori, along with the moa, essentially, on mainland New Zealand. There were 3 subspecies, one in the Chatham Islands, one on mainland New Zealand, and the other is down in the subantarctic. So that Chatham Island population and the mainland New Zealand population were wiped out by Māori, and really only that subantarctic subspecies has survived. So they've only recently started to recolonise mainland New Zealand.
Right, and that's so. And I was just saying there. So there's about 70. Would there, like, that have been born but not survived? Of course.
Right. Yeah. From mum's family tree.
From mum's family tree.
Yes.
So that's pretty amazing. But so, you know, what are, like, so just thinking about New Zealand sea lions as a total population, have you got numbers for how many are left or how many there are?
The total population is believed to be about 12,800.
So not a huge number.
Not a huge number at all. No. It's considered to be the world's rarest sea lion. Most of those numbers are down around the sub-Antarctics, mostly around Auckland Islands. Population of maybe a couple of thousand down around Campbell Islands as well.
Right. And then, so coming back closer to home, since Mum started reproducing in Dunedin, some of her offspring have started, or are they her offspring? But anyway, there's been some colonisations south of us. Is it near the Catlins that there's been?
Yes, there's been another colonising female that arrived in the Catlins area about 2004. 2005, started breeding 2006, and she's also had a number of offspring. So, so if you think of the mum story with this 25 years now of mum's breeding on the coastline, that's led to us having 17 breeding females here in the Otago Peninsula population. The female population down around the Catlins is probably not over 10 yet. It's still quite a lot lower. And just in the last few years, we've become aware of another colonising female that's been active south of Tyree Mouth and down to Bull Creek. And we've caught up with her pup over the last couple of years and tagged a pup down there as well.
Well, that's cool. Because it's quite unusual, isn't it? Because they do like to come back to where they were born, don't they?
Yes.
So for them, so it's great that they've come at all, really.
Yeah, the natal site fidelity is quite strong, and they're amazingly intelligent and strategic species as well, and you know, so they never fail to surprise. That while they are to some degree creatures of habit, they also have the stubbornness and the uniqueness to do things differently.
Yeah. So there's a few of that. We might include ourselves in that company, perhaps. A bit stubborn and different. So, what about, so any latest news? Like, are the numbers increasing here in Dunedin? Or, you know, how's the population looking?
Yeah, so we're in the middle of the breeding season at the moment, expecting, as I say, we've got 17 breeding females, so we're expecting maybe 15 or 16 pups to be born. We know of 8 around the beaches from Warrington through to Smales Beach at the moment. So the females, because they are at such low numbers, hide away from the males when they're having their pups. So down in the Auckland Islands, you get the breeding harems, and the females sort of have a strategy of safety in numbers, and they all come together, and then you'll get a big beach master who protects them. It's a bit of a protection racket. They'll chase away all the other males, and so the females.
Like a matriarchal system the males
will protect the females. So that's why they get so big. You know, it's worth a male having a big size because he gets all the females in this protection system. But because we haven't got a lot of females here to get that safety and numbers strategy going, our females hide away, which is not without its risks, because if you're a female on your own and you get found by a male and held captive or hostage, then you know that your survival and the pup's survival is at risk. So at some point in the process, you know, we might see the development of a harem system, but at the moment the female strategy is to hide away from the male. So that often means getting off the beach, getting up into the dunes, getting into farmland, getting into somebody's backyard, you know, anywhere, and using any strategy they can to hide away from the males. And last year, for instance, there was one of the females hiding in a backyard at Harwood with her pup and her yearling, much to the interest of the family that was also
living there. Wow.
Yes, so.
What an amazing thing, though.
Yeah. Oh, there's so much to learn, because You know, it's a bit like getting Moa back. It's an intelligent species and very interesting in its behaviour, and we haven't lived with them for hundreds of years. So we're learning as we go in terms of just how that's going to work.
Yeah. And I think on a global scale, it's a human beings, we need to start living better with nature, you know? And so this is one particular case example of that, isn't it? Where we can learn together, but it's about, you know, making room for the two of us, for all of us anyway. So they like to eat fish, squid. What do they like to eat?
Yeah, they're opportunistic feeders. Squid and the schooling fish that are abundant are certainly on the menu. Some of the females in wintertime in Dunedin we find are eating paddle crabs when the paddle crabs have soft shells. So you'll see vomits and things that are just full of these shells of paddle crabs.
Right.
So they're pretty able to utilise what's around in the environment, and they're very curious too. You know, that's one of the things that you'll notice about sea lions, meeting them on the beach. You know, when they run up to you, it's not that they actually want to attack you, it's just they're quite curious about what's going on, and they're sort of not afraid of people. So that is the big challenge in terms of, you know, getting used to having them around.
Right. So where are you finding that people are having most interaction with sea lions?
Everywhere.
Everywhere. I had one on Warrington Beach, which we all got out of the water quite quickly.
And again, it's that curiosity. What we advise when they approach you in the water is not to panic at all, not to necessarily run out of the water, just to stay calm. If you're in a group, you know, they'll sort of investigate everybody, so all you have to do is be more boring than the other people in the water, and they'll spend more of their time with other people. There is no record of them actually injuring people through biting them. They investigate the world with those whiskers, and people look at them and thinking there's this big sea lion with lots of teeth running at me. Well, you know, if you can reframe that and say there's this big sea lion with lots of whiskers that's sort of coming up to investigate me. But having said that, they are a wild animal, and you are right to be cautious around them. Just try not to panic in that situation. If you do feel it's getting out of hand, sort of just back off slowly, get out of their space and you know, leave them alone for some time, and they'll get bored and go away.
Right.
So on the beaches, in the water, divers, surfers, fishers, on the land, your beach users, your dog walkers, in the dunes behind the beaches and up into people's backyards, all those other activities that people might be engaging with. You know, don't be surprised to have a sea lion turn up in your midst and sort of be curious about what's going on. We've had females hit by cars because they got out onto the roads. A female was hit on a railway track. Down in the sub-Antarctics, it's not unusual to see females over a kilometre from the coast. And if you think around Dunedin, you know, all the activities that happen within a kilometre of the coast, that's, you know, a lot of things that we've got to think about. We had one a few years ago, Ruby, she was called, down at St. Clair, who was coming up onto the soccer fields there and both interacting with people and their dogs, but in the weekends with the kids on the soccer field. So, you know, that was a simple matter of just putting up a fence to provide a little bit of space between the Ruby and the people on the field. So.
Right. So every day, you might be, you know, you've got an awareness of where each of the sea lions is, the breeding mums, and just keeping an eye on things, I guess.
Yeah, so this time of year, it's good to keep track of that. Just, you know, because the pups can be born into some pretty places where they're going to get lots of disturbance from people and dogs and aren't far from roads and that sort of thing. So we want to hear about them, and we want to work with the community to just work out what the problems might be that could create an issue for the pups, and resolve them before they become an issue.
Right, okay. So let's say I'm going along the beach. So how would you advise me if, you know, I see a sea lion ahead of me, how should I proceed?
Yeah, so mostly, if you're lucky, the sea lion's just sleeping during the day on the beach, and it's just, you know, don't wake it up. So let it sleep. They come ashore to sleep. They need lots of sleep and have about 12 hours of the day in the water and 12 hours of the day on land. So give it space and don't wake it up. So we say 10 metres because a lot of our beaches you wouldn't get past a sea lion. If you said 20 metres, for instance, because at high tide, you know, that takes up most of the beach. So we say keep 10 metres away.
Does it matter either side, you know, on the water side or up in the dune side?
No, it doesn't. A message that used to go around about fur seals was don't get between the fur seal and the water, because fur seals are afraid of people. If you disturb them, they'll race back to the water. And if you're between them in the water, you might get bowled over. But what we say now is just give them all space, give them plenty of space, because sea lions aren't at all afraid of people. They're not going to run away. If you get too close, they will charge at you. So if you find yourself in a situation where the sea lion is showing an interest in you, you should back off until you get out of that sort of engagement zone, so 20 metres or even more if necessary, but just keep out of their space, and then they'll settle down again, they'll hopefully rest. We do quite often see particularly the young male sea lions who are at the bottom of the sea lion pecking order sort of getting quite excited about the fact that somebody's running away from them.
They're not used to it.
They're not used to that. Yeah. You know, they're way down the list, and so they just get so excited. And once they've been in a situation where a few people have run away from them, they're just looking for the next opportunity. So these are the young males that we see, you know, going from one group to another along St. Clair Beach, you know, running up to them and watching the people scatter.
Great fun for them.
Young adolescent.
Right, so retreat slowly.
Retreat slowly. Get out of their space. And don't.
And if you've got a dog.
So the bylaws now say dogs must be on a lead within 20 metres of protected wildlife. And so sea lions are protected wildlife, and you should really check the beach when you're arriving with your dog. Keep your dog on a lead until you're down on the beach and you can see
exactly. And you can kind of see ahead of you, that's right.
See exactly what's going on, and in that stage, you know, depending on the rules of the beach, some beaches do say please keep your dogs on a lead, but if it's a beach where you can let your dog off a lead, you know, you can do so. But if you do see wildlife and you're worried about your dog sort of running up to it, you know, the bylaw says you should get your dog on that lead before you're within 20 metres of the wildlife. So try and really ask people who have dogs to sort of try and keep and adhere to those rules that are set out in the bylaws, because it does make a real difference. I had to go in a few times and take dogs that had got right up next to sea lions, and of course the owners at that stage were too afraid to go in there and get their dogs
so
back.
You had to go in
so too? I had to go in and get their dogs back for them, and
and we want everyone to enjoy the beach, don't we, you know. We want, so we kind of, it's about education that's in a positive energy. Like, would you agree with that, you know, to
yes, that's right.
We don't want people to go home feeling bad, you know.
That's right. I mean, the thing about sea lions is that their behaviour is very dog-like. So dog owners, you know, once you get them on board and understanding the behaviour that they're seeing on the beach, they're actually, you know, they can very quick to understand what's going on and can start picking the behaviours, because the behaviours are so dog-like. So we're not saying, you know, don't go and don't use those beaches. You know, the last thing we want is people to resent sea lions because they feel like they're impacting on the normal activities here.
Yeah.
It's just following some rules so that when they are there, they're not getting into trouble with those sea lions. You know, an altercation between a dog and a sea lion could end badly for the dog as well as it could for the sea lion. So, you know, just trying to work through those behaviours.
Yeah, that's right. So, and I guess, are you giving any particular advice to tourists in particular who might not, you know, they're not from here, they might not know the situation? They might not know what's on the beach.
So. Yes, that's right. So,
so there are more signs going up and things like that, or
There are signs. Most beaches will have signs. The New Zealand Sea Lion Trust have been really proactive at getting education material out about sea lions, and they've got a really good good sign directing people to the appropriate behaviour that are around most of our beaches.
Because I've seen a few times people going up too close to take photographs. So, so it's a matter of communicating with people in a way that sort of, doesn't tell them off, but kind of gets them doing what you want them to do.
Yeah, a lot of our visitors, obviously, English is a second language too, so trying to think about that and how to best get that information across. Mm. Also, there's lots of local people who are now really familiar with sea lions and, as locals that walk the beach every day are people that can be ambassadors and, help visitors to understand appropriate behaviour and that old adage, when in Rome, do what the Romans do. You know, if the locals are able to sort of lead by example, it's a lot easier for the visitors to understand what it is that we do locally in relation to sea lions. Mm-hmm. So, if you're visiting a beach, certainly, and you get a chance to talk with some of the locals, ask if there are wildlife on the beach and, how the local people deal with those situations, and that can, especially if you've got a dog or something like that, can cue you into where it's appropriate to take your dog and where people are less happy with you taking your dog. Just if you can connect with the local communities, you get a bit of extra value out of your visit, so I can recommend that.
Yeah, it's great. And so now another change that has happened is that there's a number of the beaches now that have got car bans on them. So, obviously if you're taking your boat down to the water, that's okay, but there's no more hooning up and down the beach, is there? I shouldn't say that, but you know what I mean. But and do you think that will have a positive impact on sea lions?
Yeah, so the female sea lions are very light coloured, sandy coloured, and that's part of their hiding away from male sea lions. So one of the things that even after years of walking up and down the beaches myself, I can go onto a beach and completely miss seeing a sea lion or think I see a sea lion and it's just a log, or they are quite cryptic and quite hidden. And so for sea lions, it is definitely an advantage to not have those vehicles racing up and down the beaches. And for other wildlife, wildlife species that gets particularly impacted is oyster catchers. Mm. They nest on our local beaches in summertime when everybody's there, and to have vehicles racing up and down the beach, mm-hmm. as well as dogs and people, it really stops them from being able to breed successfully. So, all these reducing those that use that we're making sometimes completely unnecessarily of the beach as a roadway is really important.
Yeah. No, it's good. Well, anyway, and also if you don't have a car, then it's really nice just to have the peacefulness of the beach without the cars on.
That's
right. So I guess we've only got a few more minutes, but quickly, you know, is there any ways that, you know, we've sort of talked about that. Have we covered all the ways in which we can help protect our New Zealand sea lions? You know, when we're on the beach, in the water, on the beach, with our dogs and so forth.
When you're fishing, you know, we throw away the offal, clean the fish, throw away the offal. So particularly around the entrance to Otago Harbour, a lot of sea lions hang out and they're cashing in, and, you know, in their opinion, we're throwing away the best part of the fish. You know, they'll eat the guts and leave the flesh of many species. So, so try not to throw that food in a way that's encouraging the sea lions to come to and follow boats, and see the boats as a source of food is really quite important. In some of in the harbour and also in some of the inlets, set netting is still allowed. So we ask that people, thinking about that when they're setting nets, and preferably stay with their set nets, so if anything happens or a sea lion comes around, they can respond appropriately. So there are, you know, those sorts of actions that we'd want people to think about as well.
Just about where you're disposing of that offal. Yeah. Okay. We'll have to finish up there, Jim. But I'm hoping that, you know, as the years progress, we're having a steady increase, I guess, and that it'll keep on going that way, and that with time we'll all be, you know, learning how to interact, and we'll be learning more and more each year, won't we?
Yes. It's a delight to have them around, and I do hope that people take time to get used to them.
All right, and thank you, for listening. This is Eco Living in Action. I'm Maureen Howard, and we're supported by Sustainable Dunedin City.
Sustainable Dunedin City aims to facilitate a positive, secure, and sustainable future for Dunedin. We're local people interested in issues of climate change, declining energy security, and sustainability. As they affect our city, Sustainable Dunedin City produces a regular online newsletter of sustainability-related events, hosts regular green drink sessions, and organises the Big Green Challenge. For more information or to join, go to www.sustainabledunedincity.org.nz.